Hi, my name is Mark Davis, and I want to tell you a little bit about cognitive hypnotherapy, which is the type of hypnotherapy that I practice. We'll look at it in two parts, firstly cognitive and then hypnotherapy, and then put them together. So firstly, the word cognitive, which really is about how we know and understand the world, our thought processes, memories, beliefs, ideas, and language. In classical psychology, we talk about stimulus and response. Something happens to us on the outside, for example, perhaps our supervisor assigns us a new task. And then the response is how we respond to that. Do we get angry? Are we happy? Do we engage more in our work? Do we pull away from our work? What's our response to it? Cognitive psychology is concerned with what happens in between there, i.e. what happens in our head between the external event and then our behavior. So that really is where we're thinking about why is our boss giving this to this? My boss giving this to me? Is it because they don't like me? Or are they, why is he giving it to me? Does he think I'm more responsible and I can take on more responsibility? And so how we interpret the external events and then choose our corresponding behaviors, that is the cognitive part. And that's the part we're concerned with, how we process our information about the world. So this processing of information is sometimes very fast. Sometimes we're aware of it. Very often we're not aware of it. Now, that doesn't mean that it's in our unconscious and that we can't have access to it and we have to go into hypnosis to get access to it. No, it means it's simply that we're just focused too intently sometimes to be aware of all of the thinking processes and judgments and opinions and ideas that are going on. And just like when we're looking at something, we can have what's called peripheral vision, which is much wider vision where we can take everything in, or we can be focused very intensely. Sometimes when we're focused really intensely on something with our focal vision, we aren't actually aware of what's happening in our peripheral vision. In a way, our awareness can be the same. And very often, we're very focused in a very laser-like way on something, and we're not, our peripheral awareness isn't so great. And so a lot of what we do is to become more mindful, more aware of all the very quick thoughts and judgments that are going on. We try really to, in a way, slow down that thinking process so we can look at it and see what's happening. And then we can really simply become more aware of what we're saying to ourselves, how we're judging the world, and the things there that we can improve, what is causing our problems. And what's really important here is that these thinking processes are under our control, and they really determine how we experience the world. They determine how happy we are. They really do often determine how effective we are, and they are under our control. The power here is in the present moment. It's not that there's something in the past that's affecting us that we have to go back and unpack. And one of the great stories here is actually told by the Buddha. And it's about, it's called the story of the poisoned arrow. A man has been shot and is dying from a poisoned arrow. And the surgeon comes who can remove the arrow and treat it. But the man says, well, before you remove and treat it, I want to find out who shot the arrow, what family he came from, what town he lived in. What was he thinking when he shot it? Why did he shoot it? What type of bow is it shot from? And what way was the wind blowing? And you can see that these are not really very useful questions. The arrow needs to be removed and the poison treated. And this is the point of the present moment. Let's just deal with what's happening in the present moment. We're not so concerned with what was the origin of the problem, called the originating cause. We're really concerned with what's maintaining it. Why are you still having an issue now? What are you thinking about? How's your body responding? What are you doing that's continuing to maintain the situation? And there are often what we call negative automatic thoughts that are happening, which are very quick negative thoughts that are going on automatically. We're not really choosing to think them. They're just going on. And often in these thoughts, when we look at them, we find what are called thinking errors, where we're really making mistakes in our thinking. A very typical one that you come across is, I'm a total failure. I always fail at things. And this can be an underlying thought that people have in their approach to life that often they're not aware of. Sometimes they are aware of. And it certainly is wrong, because nobody is a total failure. There's probably never, ever been a total failure that's ever walked the earth, because we've always managed to learn things. Just the ability to think and say, I am a total failure, indicates the ability to acquire language, which is actually an extremely complex task, and even the most advanced computers can't manage to accomplish that. So we've had lots and lots of successes in our lives, and perhaps at a certain point we've had a few setbacks, or a few what we might want to call failures. However, that's perhaps out of a vast category of successes of things we've managed to accomplish. So to say I'm a total failure is completely untrue in terms of fact. And this is what we do in cognitive therapy. We really challenge these sorts of negative thoughts that really undermine our sense of effectiveness and who we are. And we really try to replace them with more realistic, more rational thoughts. And these are very naturally more positive thoughts. Rational approaches to the way we think about ourselves and the world are generally more positive, and they're much more open and much more hopeful, because we can't tell what the future is going to be. So we can only say, a few times I've failed in the past, but I've generally been successful. And so in the future, I may have a few failures, but generally I should be successful. This is a much more positive way to think. Now, cognitive psychology is the main model of modern psychology. Cognitive therapy, particularly cognitive behavioral therapy, is one of the main therapies that's used today. It's one of the main ones endorsed by the NHS. It's particularly noted for treating mild to moderate depression. It's been shown in many cases to be more effective than antidepressants, particularly as people acquire long-term life skills in more realistic and therefore more positive thinking. It's got a huge evidence base showing that it actually works, that it delivers measurable results in a reasonable period of time. Now, hypnotherapy has got a more muddled historic background, and this is because of its roots in what are called mesmerism, or this kind of animal magnetism power that the hypnotherapist was supposed to have, which has proven to be false. And also because there is not general agreement through the ages in what is hypnosis, what is the state of hypnosis, how does it actually work? I would say nowadays that is becoming much clearer, particularly through cognitive psychology. However, across hypnotherapists, you will find a wide range of opinions. And this hasn't helped really in terms of clarifying what is hypnosis and hypnotherapy for the general public. There is a strong evidence base for it. It is recognized and endorsed by all the major medical bodies. And let's just run through that quickly. I have another recording that gives this in detail. However, the British Medical Association reviewed and endorsed hypnotherapy in 1892 and in 1955. The British Medical Journal published an in-depth study in 1999 and endorsed it. The American Medical Association in 1958. The US National Institute of Health in 1955. And there is an excellent study by the British Psychological Society in 2001. It's generally found to be and endorsed to be effective for treating pain, stress when undergoing cancer treatment, very good for general anxiety, tension, stress, psychosomatic illnesses, including things like irritable bowel syndrome, and also aiding insomnia, and as an effective part of a regimen for weight loss. These are statistically relevant, peer-reviewed studies that have been looked at, and these are our major medical bodies that have endorsed and recognized hypnotherapy. So what is hypnosis? I said it's hard to define. Here's what I would offer as a definition, and this is really the working model in cognitive psychology, and that it is a state of heightened suggestibility where the critical part of the mind is relaxed and in repose, where we're not filtering everything and checking it before we accept it. We simply accept suggestions easily and naturally. So if you're saying you are feeling calmer and more confident, and you inside you're saying, yeah, I am feeling calmer and more confident, you're not questioning that. You're not critically analyzing it. Now, I want to remind you that in saying open to suggestion, people say, oh, open to manipulation. But remember, this is in a therapeutic setting. It's not in a manipulative setting. We're not talking about sales. We're not talking about seduction. We're not talking about stage entertainment. This is a therapeutic session where a client comes to a therapist in confidence and privacy and asks for help, where a degree of rapport and trust has been established. So the therapist then guides the client into a state of increased suggestibility, that's usually through relaxation, and gives them positive suggestions, as well as often having them imagine situations where they see themselves thinking, feeling, and behaving more positively. And when the critical part of the mind is switched off, then we accept these suggestions and imagined experiences at a very deep level. Indeed, the mind really can't tell the difference between the imagined experience and reality. It has been shown, for example, in Olympics training, that running the race in your imagination fires all the same neurons in the brain and in the muscles as if you were actually running the race. It's quite amazing to think about. So this state of absorbed imagination, we can very quickly create new positive experiences and new positive thought patterns, indeed new positive automatic thoughts, quite quickly and quite easily. Now, this is a collaboration. You're not under the spell and power of the therapist. At any point in time, you feel that you can come out of hypnosis. But generally, the experience is, yes, I could stop this at any time, but why would I? This feels good. You've asked for help, and it's being given in this form of hypnotherapy. And so you collaborate and you go along. It's like a collaborative dance. In ballroom dancing, one leads and the other follows. And they create a beautiful dance together, and it's the same in therapy. Except that I would say that I don't believe in anyone becoming dependent on a therapist. Therefore, a core focus of my work is to teach you the skills to be able to think more rationally and positively, to be able to relax and feel good anytime you want. Now, combining cognitive therapy and hypnotherapy, there is not merely an additive effect, but a multiplier effect. There have been a few studies done, and it has really been quite astonishing at how effective combining these two therapies is. Hypnotherapy delivers immediate benefits through the power of positive suggestion and imagined experience, and the cognitive work teaches you lifelong skills in better thinking habits. A large number of research studies have consistently shown that cognitive therapy and hypnotherapy independently are two of the most effective psychotherapies, delivering measurable results in a short time frame. As I said, adding them together is actually a relatively new phenomenon, and where studies have been done, it's been shown to be remarkably effective. And I would go so far as to predict that within the next 5 to 10 years, this will become one of the dominant models because it is so fast, effective, and rapid. Now, when I work with you, I will work with you on your thinking habits in the talking part of the session. So that's the cognitive therapy. I'll take you into hypnosis and relax you deeply, giving you positive suggestions, the classical hypnotherapy section. And then I will take the cognitive work into the hypnosis session and have you rehearse in your imagination using your positive thoughts, feeling calmer, more confident, seeing yourself behaving more calmly and more confident. And I teach everyone self-hypnosis and instant relaxation techniques. So you can take those home with you. And I usually also give you a specially recorded therapy CD, a self-hypnosis CD, to help you with your situation that you can take and practice at home. So I hope this has given you some idea of what cognitive hypnotherapy is and the type of hypnotherapy I practice. If you've got any questions, please do email me or call me on 0800 860 0698. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.